Yes, yes.
So
now this is the process of collegiality.
Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And so I cannot say to you, as I look at any one of these cases, that
I notice. Excuse me.
Sure.
Perhaps pertinent. It's my observation, and I meant to ask you about this. You seem to consciously follow what I'll call a conservative or a spare writing style. My observation, and I'm asking you for whether it's correct or not, is that you seem not to be disposed to use many adjectives, to use, to introduce quips, or put in little asides or little bits of philosophy and that sort of thing.
I get the impression. That's a fair statement. And that's because it is because I've been involved so much in the Bar Association on the lawyer side that I am convinced that the way appellate courts help the bench and the bar is to speak in as much plain English as you can without all of the legalese and without the necessity of a jillion footnotes to accomplish something, and to be as clear as one can without being pejorative to the extent that you have someone assume that they're reading Ned in the third grade reader, if you follow what I'm saying.
Yes. Did you on the court very consciously attempt to avoid acrimony, even where you felt strongly?
Absolutely.
Do you feel that your colleagues reciprocated?
Yes, I do.
There are a lot of 4-3, 5-2, you know, I've made notations.
Sure.
Some of them stick right out. I notice even one of them, I put a little mark down here to try to remember a couple of the cases that were thought by some to be quite significant, the DeFranco case and the Beecham versus Dow Chemical. Now, they occurred during your first year on the court, I think. And you did not write, as I recall. You, you know, we cast your vote on these cases, and you were a participant.
Yes.
But I noticed, I took a look the other day at DeFranco. There's been a lot of conversation there, you know, for many reasons. And Williams, Justice Williams, while he, you know, he said one thing, he voted one way and sort of talked another, but he pointed out that 4 or 5 years prior in the
Cassidy decision,
that the court went 5-1 or 6-1 the other way. And in effect, he said, on this occasion, adopted in effect the lone, you know, the minority decision in Cassidy.
Yes.
And he thought, as I recall, that this was giving pretty short shrift to stare decisis, and he said there were some other things to. Is the court sufficiently, when during your time of service there, attentive to the principles of continuity in the law?
Absolutely. As it relates to Cassidy, however, it was a clear example of, in my view, those who were on the court at the time having thought that the bench and the bar would interpret Cassidy in one way. Mm-hmm. It turned out they didn't. And from my own point of view, having been on the bench, I mean, having been a recent trial lawyer, and having observed Cassidy, our firm that I came from didn't do that much work in out-on network. Ours was more in heavy-duty kind of public, personal injury work. And we didn't have any kind of problems with Cassidy because we didn't do that kind of work. But I knew that Cassidy didn't work because the judges were just throwing cases out of court right and left when it was really a question of fact as to whether or not a person experienced bodily injury. And so that's what DeFranco did. It corrected and made plain what Cassidy was intended, in effect. So I had no problem voting with the majority under Franco.